Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Just want a quick note tonight. Don't forget Saturday is the children's practice. If your children is in the Wednesday night program, they're going to perform Sunday on Mother's Day at 11:15. So please be here Saturday for the practice. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 9. Just a quick thought tonight. We're in our series called Major Bible Events. When you get home, you might want to just read through this whole chapter. This is the transition chapter from the ministry of Elisha to Elijah. Elijah to Elisha. Sorry. The way I keep it straight is J comes before SH in the alphabet. So Elijah was first, then Elisha was second. That's how I keep them straight. Do you understand, Miss Sophie? So J comes before SH. Elijah came before Elisha. I'm not kidding, guys. That's how I keep them straight. It works that way. All right, Elijah came first. Elisha took over for him. Look at verse number 9. The Bible reads, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." This is a transitional chapter. Elijah's ministry has come to an end. He has done incredible works for God. He was fed by the ravens in 1 Kings 17. He went and lived with the widow of Zarephath, where every day she got up and there was always a handful of meal in her barrel, and there was enough oil in the cruse to make cakes for herself, the prophet, and her son. He raises the widow's son from the dead, 1 Kings 17. Fire consumes the offering with the prophets of Baal. He was fed by an angel. He called down fire to consume the captain and 50 men in 2 Kings 1. He divides the waters of Jordan, 2 Kings 2. And he goes up in a whirlwind. He does not die. He is taken up in a fiery chariot. That's where we get some of the songs, the old spiritual songs about the fiery chariot. But we are in the middle of a transition. Here is a man of God who served faithfully. And his replacement was picked by God. And he got to ordain him. He got to call, go and throw his mantle on him and call him into the ministry. And one of the greatest things that was said about Elisha, from where this is the guy who followed. So you had Elijah first. Everybody say it with me, Elijah, then Elisha. So number one and number two. I don't know how else to keep it from being confusing. But number one was a great man of God. But when number two was referred to, he was referred to as the one who poured water on the hands of the man of God. Elisha was a humble servant. And the reason he became such a great leader and such a used of God was because while he was being trained, he was an excellent servant to the man of God. He served him. He helped him. He was able to expand what the first preacher was able to do because of that. And you can't overstate that in leadership terms. But what's incredible is, as you get into chapter 2 and verse 1, it came to pass that the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. He's like, look, you stay right here. I'm going to go on and I'll come back for you. But Elisha knew that, number one, Elijah was going to be taken away. God was going to take him. And he says, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. He's going to say this three times. Because he goes on. Verse 4, and Elijah said unto Elisha, number one said to number two, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And now we see the brethren. Verse 5, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. I know what's going on here. I know what God's about to do. It's going to happen again in verse number 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood and viewed afar off, and they stood by Jordan. This is incredible. He's verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle. Number one, took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. This was a miracle. And that's what's incredible about the life of Elisha. He got to see the miracles that Elijah performed. He got to see it firsthand, the miracles that God did through Elijah, and was able to go, you know what, this is real. This God that we have been told about our entire life, he is manifesting himself in power and in miracles. He's real. But three times, number one, Elijah said to number two, Elisha, you stay here, I'm going on. And Elijah said, I'm not. I'm going to stay with you through it all. And in verse number 8, when he crosses the Jordan, that is when he asks the question. Then Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit fall on me. Now, Elijah wasn't insulted that Elisha asked for this. Number one preacher was not insulted that the number two wanted more, because he realized that because God had manifested himself so powerfully in his ministry, the guy following him could see that this was real. And what could we accomplish if I actually believed like you did, if I actually believed and expected it, because now that I've seen it happen to you, I can expect it to happen to me if I just ask. Number two, God was not insulted that Elisha asked this of Elijah. God is actually delighted when we believe that God can and will if we'll just ask. And God is never insulted when we ask big prayers. And God granted his request because listen to what Elisha did. He parts the water after Elijah's taken up. He heals the water with salt, 2 Kings 2:21. He curses 42 kids that are mocking the fact that he's bald. He's walking up to Bethel, and 42 little kids come out of that town, and they're mocking him, going, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And he cursed them, and two she-bears came out of the woods and killed all 42 of them little monkeys. That's why you watch your mouth, boys and girls. Why, don't mock the old man. The old man. My mama always said to me, she was like this tall. Mama said, I can still take you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, because her and God can still whoop me. And the truth is, but God went on. It went on. He was able to fill the ditches with water, 2 Kings 3, by a miracle. He increased the widow's oil, 2 Kings 4. He was able to pray, and the Shunammite woman who was barren had a child. And then pray again when the Shunammite woman's child died, and he was able to pray, and the child resurrected. He healed the poisonous pottage with the sons of the prophets. In 2 Kings 4, he fed 100 men with 20 loaves, 2 Kings 4. He was able to proclaim healing for Naaman. If you just go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, he actually commands the leprosy to go to his servant who was dishonest. He makes the lost axe head swim, 2 Kings 6. He opens the eyes of his servant to see the chariots and horsemen and angels of fire surrounding them to protect them. He blinds the army of the Syrians, 2 Kings 6. He opens, he scatters the Syrian army in 2 Kings 7. And then a man who died was being buried, and they dropped his body, and his body touched the bones of Elisha. And that man came back to life in the bottom of a grave. He found life. Anyway, so he actually did get a double portion, twice as many miracles as the first preacher. God wants you and I to pray big prayers. Is there somebody in your life that you've actually seen God do miracles through, that God has come through, that God has met your needs, and God has done things over and above what you ask or even could think? God would not be insulted if you were to say, God, I want double. I want you to do something even greater in and through my life. You know, in Psalm 81:10, God shows us his credentials when he said, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that brought you through the Red Sea. You know, he's still the same God. One of the doctrines of God is the immutability of God. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. He's the same God Peter served. He's the same God. He's the same God of Elijah and Elisha. He's the same God of Peter and all the other apostles. He's the same God. God has not gotten older. You know, sometimes we forget about that. You know, I was talking tonight to brother and sister here brother and sister Cleveland, you know, the Lord allowed us to buy a house, so we're all on one level. I don't have to do stairs anymore. You know, and I just think about it as I get older. You know, God ain't got to worry about stairs. God don't have to worry about it, right? God don't need walkers and canes, and God's never going to need a wheelchair. God doesn't get older and decrepit. He is still the same God. So something has changed with us, not him. Don't be afraid to ask God for the double portion. God, I need something big here. Show me what you can actually do. That's been my prayer in 2021. God, show me what you can do. Show me what you can do. Show me what can actually happen if we just watch you do something incredible. I think because we have a little, it's because we ask very little. We ask things that we can actually grab our hands around. And I think it's time we start asking for things that's bigger than our hands, bigger than our credit card, bigger than our bank statements. We need to start asking God for something bigger, because the things that you can handle, I know it's not in the Bible, God helps those who help themselves, but the truth is, it doesn't take faith if you're something you can possibly accomplish. What takes faith is something that's beyond you. And Elisha, the number two guy, because of the testimony of number one, saw what was God possible by faith. He saw beyond what Elijah. I mean, wouldn't you and I would have been with 6 or 7 or 8 miracles? Wouldn't you and I went, oh, man, I've had a full life. And Elisha's like, man, if God can do that with you, what could he do if I really believe him? If I really not doubt. He wants to convince us of our ability. Listen to this verse in Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I, that's prayer, and I will answer thee. That's a promise. And show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. That means God is, if you'll ask, God will blow your mind. God will go beyond your limited thinking into stuff that's only God possible. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 32:27. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard? No, Lord, there's not. So ask big things. I want you to do that. We've got Friend Day coming. I want you to ask for big things. But you know what? We'll take big things on an off Sunday, won't we, brother? We'll take big, right, Brother Frank? We'll take big things, Brother Jim, on a normal garden variety everyday Sunday. We'll take the big things there. It ain't got to be just on Luau Day. In Matthew 17:20, he says, if you have faith, this is Jesus, as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to a yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. We got to believe God for big things. And that's why Elisha asked for a double portion. I'm going to believe God for bigger things than I've ever seen. I want to believe God for things that can't even go beyond. It goes beyond my imagination. Jesus said, if thou canst believe all things are possible to him that believeth. If we'll have faith and not doubt, that's what he said in Matthew 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's beyond my imagination. According to the power that worketh in us. The power for miracles, for God to work miracles, we have that as a down payment on heaven. Now I can't work miracles. If I could work miracles, I'd go to Inova Hospital, start at the top floor and work my way to the morgue, wouldn't you? I mean, I would if I could do it, but it's not about me. It's the same power that saved our soul. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that worked through Elijah to do so many miracles and then Elisha to do twice as many. But big prayers glorify God. Big prayers. You know, it was a simple prayer when Elijah called down fire from heaven, 1 Kings 18. It was a simple prayer. It wasn't complex. You know, it was a simple prayer Jesus prayed at the tomb of Lazarus. He said, not for me, but for those that are watching, God, I'd like you to do something massive. I'd like you to do something big. I'd like you to do it for these people who are seeing. Why? Because the people who saw Lazarus come out of that grave got a whole new view of the power of God than what you and I have done. Big prayers prosper God's work. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything, that's that word again, anything in my name, I'll do it. That word anything means reaching beyond our ability into the supernatural power of God and asking God to do something that only He can be credited for. That's the beauty of it all. I want God to get the credit. I want God to see it happen. But He won't if we don't ask. There was revivals in the 1800s. There were revivals in the early 1900s. Why aren't we not seeing life-altering revivals today? And I think to myself, it's got to be because I'm not asking. So why am I not asking? Is it because God has changed? Or is it because I don't believe He'll answer because it's me asking? So if we'll follow God's rules, which is if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And I'm sure I'm misquoting it, but then I'll heal their land. Forgive their sin and heal their land. Big prayers glorifies God because He delights to be believed. And that was made the difference between Elijah and Elisha. He got the double portion because he knew God was able and he asked God for it. So if you'll just partner with me this year and ask God to do something bigger than He's ever done in your life, we will be praising Him for eternity for what we see happen this year. And the spillover into the lives of the lost and our community will be profound. But it'll be us who gets to see the big miracles if we'll ask. Yeah, as I said, Elijah was not insulted when Elisha asked for it. God was not insulted that Elisha asked for a double portion. I just think our prayers, the size of our prayers, needs to match the size of our God. And then something incredible is going to happen. Take that with you tonight. Make that a part of your prayer life. God, show me what You can do. And show me something that I can, that's beyond my imagination. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we know that there are souls yet to be saved in the lives of each person here. Whether they be parents or siblings or nieces, nephews, and kids, whether they be neighbors and coworkers, God, there are people yet to be saved right here in our county. And Father, today we ask that You would do a great, great, great work, something beyond what we've seen in our 60-plus year history here at Kingstown. Father, You've had this church on this hill for a long time as a pinnacle, as a lighthouse to this community, even before there was a community. But Father, we ask that this year You would show us what You can do. We are reaching out into the supernatural, miracle-working space that only You reside in and ask You to do something in us first and in our families. And Father, may the spillover be glorious as well, and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.